It's turning your Bibles here tonight to Matthew chapter 23, and we'll be in the New Testament, and then we'll go to the Old Testament here. Matthew 33:12, just to look at a verse to kind of set our theme here tonight. We'll deal with the topic of humility, of heart and mind. Matthew chapter 23 and verse 12. It says these words here, Matthew 23:12, "And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted." Let's pray here tonight. Dear Lord, thank you for your word that we have before us, and pray that you'd bless us, Lord, to our hearts and minds. I thank you that your word is truth. And Father, as we look at this topic of humility, Lord, I pray that you would guide our hearts and minds. And Father, I just pray that we would see the value and blessedness in walking in humility, and we'll give you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. This one verse here, verse 12, "And whosoever shall exalt himself." Does man have a free will?
Yes.
He does. Is God sovereign?
Yes.
Does God hold both of those ropes hanging down from heaven, so to speak? If you find sovereignty, it leads to God. If you find the free will, it leads back to God, because he makes us all individual beings that are responsible. And with that sovereignty, God is giving us the freedom to be free moral agents. And with that thought in mind, whoever shall exalt himself, it is something here we want to make sure that we always walk humble. And I think John Bunyan said, "He who is low need fear no fall." And if you're down low, because like little kids, when they're running around, if they fall, they just hit the ground, get back up. But if you're an adult and you take a stumble, it's a long ways down to the ground, and it hurts. And if you're low down, it doesn't hurt you. And that's the attitude we want to have in our hearts and minds, that we can be humble beings of the Most High God. Well, with that verse in mind of just walking in humility before God, turn to the Old Testament here, to the book of Daniel here, Daniel chapter 4, and I want to look at a person's testimony. Now, we all have a testimony, and this is his testimony that he wrote out of what God did in his life. People can argue about many things, but they cannot argue with your testimony. That's what God did in your life. And this man here in Daniel chapter 4, he wrote this out that all people and nations and all the world would know what God did in his life. And this is an amazing chapter here of the sovereignty of God, the free will of man, and a man that God's heart, a man that God changed his heart in. Well, in Daniel chapter 4, verse 1, Nebuchadnezzar, the king. Now, he was king, and in those days, a monarch was absolute authority over everybody. We elect our representatives, or at least we try to in America. You understand what I'm saying? And we have elections, but Nebuchadnezzar, he was a king. What he said went. And Nebuchadnezzar was a king unto all people, nations, language that dwell on all the earth. Peace be multiplied unto you. His kingdom filled the earth at this time. And but he wanted to tell him something. He wanted all people to know this, what God did in his life. In verse 2, he said, "I thought it was good to show the signs and wonders that the high God has wrought toward me." Now, God works in people's lives. God worked in this man's life. And this man had a testimony of what God did in his life, and he wanted all the world to know this. Verse 3, "How great are his signs! How mighty are his wonders! His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom." Now, Nebuchadnezzar was a king over the largest empire of the world at that time. He was a mighty king, but he said, "I want you to know that his kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. His dominion is from generation to generation." Now, think about Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom. Did it come to an end at a certain point in time? It came to an end, but God's eternal, and God's kingdom's never going to end, because God is the same yesterday and forever. He lives eternally. Well, it all started in verse 4, he goes, "I, Nebuchadnezzar," and this is his testimony. Now, I want you to think about your testimony, your life, how God has worked in your life, where you are spiritually. In verse 4, "I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in mine house and flourishing in my palace." Everything's going good for him at this time in his kingdom. He was resting, flourishing. He was in his palace, enjoying the good life. Verse 5, I saw a dream which made me afraid. Now, who gave him this dream? God gave him this dream. Now, does God speak to sinners? He does. The next chapter is about a king too in chapter 5. Did God speak to that king? Handwriting on what? Wow, God spoke to that king too. We got chapter 4, chapter 5, two kings. God spoke to this king here. Now, I've heard stories, now I haven't personally, just of reading, but in the Middle East, in Muslim communities, there are people that have dreams about Jesus Christ. And they convert to Christianity. And nobody, it's just a dream, they see Jesus or something, and you hear these testimonies, they're put out of their families, but that dream was so real to them, they don't deny Christ. And it's amazing how God can speak through dreams. Can anybody think of a New Testament that had a dream that God spoke to him?
Joseph.
Yeah, Joseph, absolutely. God gave him a dream. You're to take Mary, your wife. Is God limited in how he talks to us? God can speak through creation. He can speak in our hearts. He can communicate with us. Well, he had a dream here, and this dream made him afraid. And the thoughts upon his bed and the visions of my head troubled me. Now, he had peace, in his kingdom. He was flourishing in his house in verse 4, but that didn't stay long. And he had thoughts upon his bed, visions in his head. They troubled him. Therefore, I made a decree to bring in all the wise men. He wanted to know, what did this dream mean? He had no answers for himself. He wanted to know what this means, the interpretation of the dream, verse 6. Verse 7, magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, soothsayers, I told them the dream. Nobody could make him known the meaning of it. But they did not make known unto me the interpretation. They had no answers. And king, I hear your dream. I listen to it. I have no idea what that dream means. I know it's troubling you, wish you had an answer, but you're on your own right now. We don't know what to tell you. Verse 8, but at last Daniel came in before me. Now, chapter 4, Daniel's called. And we'll get chapter 5 next week. Chapter 5, Daniel's called. Two kings. Now, Daniel comes in. The king had renamed him Belteshazzar. Baal is his protector. Let me ask you something about Daniel. Who was his God? King gave him a name, but Daniel didn't let that name stick. Baal wasn't his protector. God was his protector. And according to the name of my God, and in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. And Daniel was a godly man, and the spirit of God was with him. And Nebuchadnezzar says, I told him the dream, verse 8. Oh, Belteshazzar, Daniel, verse 9, master of the magicians, goes, I know that the spirit of the holy gods. Now, for us, if a sinner has so many problems, he doesn't know how to get answers, should he be able to find some godly people that can say, this is the way and walk in? And should he be able to find some people say, I know the Lord. I can tell you how to find God. You don't have answers in your life? Hey, I got some answers for you. Daniel was that man at the time. And Nebuchadnezzar, he had no answers for his troubled heart. Daniel's testimony, he says, no secret troubles you. Tell me the vision of my dream. Tell me, in verse 9, I want to know what this dream I've seen in the interpretation. Well, then he tells him, verse 10, the vision of my head and my bed. I saw, behold, a tree in the midst of the earth, and the height of it was great. And the tree grew and strong, and the height of it reached to heaven. This dream was, for him, he just saw this tree going all the way up to heaven. Huge. The side of it to the end of all the earth. It just like filled the whole earth. The leaves of it were fair, and the fruit much, and in it was food for all, and the beasts of the field had shadows under it, the fowls of the heaven dwelt, and the boughs thereof, and all the flesh fed on it. What a tree, what a vision. Verse 13, I saw in the vision of my head upon my bed, and behold, a watcher. Who's a watcher in verse 13? Who's a watcher?
An angel, maybe.
No? No, I wouldn't say it's the angel. Who would the watcher be?
God?
Yeah, God's watching. Does God see everything? Does God see? Does God know the end from the beginning? He knows all things. A watcher, a holy one, came down from heaven. A watcher is watching. And he cried aloud and said, "Hew down the tree and cut off its branches, shake off its leaves and scatter its fruit, and let the beasts get away from under it and the fowls of the branches." If you were to give me one word for verse 14, what would that be? Sum that up in one word. Verse 14 is a word of what?
Warning.
Warning? Okay. That's a good word. Warning.
Destruction.
Destruction? Okay.
Judgment.
Judgment. Yes. Does that sound like a pretty serious verse? I mean, it got him really stirred up inside because he saw this huge, beautiful tree and all of a sudden it just crashed and it was destroyed. And he didn't know what to make of it. He couldn't figure it out. Now, we as New Testament believers nevertheless leave the stump of his roots in the earth. Now, anybody have an idea how to sum up that little statement? Leave the stump of his roots in the earth. Now this tree is referring, we know who the tree is referring to. Who's that referring to? Nebuchadnezzar. If the stump is left, what is God saying to him?
Another chance.
Another chance. How about grace? There's going to be some grace here. Another chance. Nevertheless, leave the stump of the root of the earth, even with a band of iron and brass, and the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portions be with the beast in the grass of the earth. Let his heart be changed from a man's, and let a beast's heart be given unto him, and let seven times pass over him. Now, if the tree is Nebuchadnezzar, he was, verse 4, I, Nebuchadnezzar, was in my house and flourishing in my palace. That's how he saw life. How did God see his life? What was going to happen to him? See, we have this picture how things are, but God has a totally different picture because he wasn't happy with Nebuchadnezzar. Let seven times pass. This matter, the decree of the watchers, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and the demands by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High rules where? In the what? Verse, in the kingdom of men. Is God sovereign? Is he sovereign yesterday? Is he sovereign today? Is he sovereign tomorrow? He's sovereign all the time. Now, Nebuchadnezzar thought he is a great king. And he give it to whoever he will and set it up over them the lowliness of men. This dream I, King Nebuchadnezzar, have seen. Now, this is testimony. This is what God's doing and what he's told me. Now thou, Belshazzar, declare the intention. Daniel, tell me, what's this mean? For as much as all the wise men of my kingdom are not able to make known unto me the interpretation, but thou art able, for the spirit of the holy gods is in thee. Now Daniel heard this, and at that moment, God just pulled back the curtains for Daniel and opened his mind and gave him the understanding. And at that point, when Daniel understood that that king is going to be humiliated and taken down mighty low. Okay. Daniel here, he was astonished for an hour. He just sat there. Because what if you give the king a bad word or tell him, "Hey, king, this isn't going to go good for you. An absolute monarch, what could he do to you? He'd take your head right off. You make him mad? You make him mad, he could do you right in." And Daniel, in that moment, he's probably thinking, "How do I handle this? He wants me to tell him, but I don't have any good news here. All I got's bad news. How do I tell this guy this?" And he's astonished. For an hour, he didn't say anything. And the king's looking at him, waiting. And the minutes are ticking by. And finally, the king said, "Belshazzar, Daniel, let not the dream or the interpretation trouble thee. I know you know, but you better tell me here. Whatever it is, just let me know." And look how Daniel worded this. He said, "My Lord, the dream, let it be to them that hate thee, and the interpretation thereof to thine enemies." King, I wish this was for those that hate you and for your enemies. See how he softened it? He turned it like, I really don't want to tell you this, but I want to tell you this, but I'd really rather be for your enemies than those that hate you. If all a sinner hears from God's people is God is love, is that fair to the sinner? Does a sinner need to hear some bad news? They need to hear some bad news sometimes, even if the one giving it may be sticking their neck out, so to speak. Because if all you say is God is love, that is true, but God is a lot more than love. And for Nebuchadnezzar here, God is dealing with this man because he was exalting himself against God. And God said, wait a minute here, I'm only one God. You're not God. And so Daniel here, he words this in such a way to soften it, but still get the point across. And verse 20, the tree which you saw grew and was strong, whose height reached unto heaven, a sight thereof to all the earth, whose leaf was fair, the fruit there was much, was food for all under which the beasts of the field dwelt, whose branches the fowls of heaven had their habitation. It is thou, O king. And as soon as he said that, all of a sudden that, I bet those lights just binged in Nebuchadnezzar's mind and spirit, because he saw this greatness and all of a sudden he saw this uh-oh. What was going to happen? And it is thou, O king, thou art grown and become strong, for thy greatness is grown and reaches down unto heaven, and thy dominion to the end of the earth. Whereas the king saw a watcher, God again, God's watching, the Holy One coming down from heaven, saying, cut down the tree and destroy it, yet leave the stump, the roots thereof in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass and tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beasts of the field 7 times pass over him. This is the interpretation, O king. Daniel said, I'm telling you, this is what God says, this is what it is. And this is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my Lord the King. And he gives some detail here. Verse 25, they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make thee to eat grass as an ox, and they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven. 7 times shall pass over thee till thou knowest. Now, what was God trying to teach him? That the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and give it to whosoever he willeth. And whereas they commanded to leave the stump of the tree roots, and thy kingdom shall be sure unto thee, that's grace, be restored, after that thou shalt know that the heavens do rule. Now, that first word in verse 27, why is that there? What did Daniel do? Okay, did he just give him some truth? He laid the truth right out there. What is verse 27, that first word, what is he doing for the king? He's making a what? Well, he gave him the truth. What is he supposed to do with the truth? He's making an application. You don't give people the truth without giving them application. What are they supposed to do with this? Okay, he just laid all the truth out. Wherefore, O king, let my counsel be accepted. This is the application of thee. Break off thy what? That's the application. You're walking in pride. You better humble yourself. Break off your sins by righteousness, and thine iniquity by showing mercy to the poor. And if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility, the application. Now, that's Daniel. He stands before the king. That guy can say, you're done. But he didn't back up. Daniel, he stood his ground and just faithfully told. And then he made the application. What is he supposed to do? All this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar. Now, verse 29. How long did God wait? In verse 29. 12 months. How many days is 12 months?
365.
Yeah, that's 365 days. How did God feel about his pride on day one? Did God like his? Well, let's just look at some verses at pride. 16, Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16. We're just going to read some verses here, pride. Proverbs 6, 16 through 19. Six things does the Lord hate, yea, seven are abominable unto him. A proud what? Look. How does God feel about pride? Proverbs 11, 2. When pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom, humility. How did God feel about on day one about his pride? James 4, 6, but he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the what? Proud. On day one, that's how God felt about it. But he giveth grace unto the humble. By the way, how did Lucifer fall from heaven in Isaiah chapter 14?
Because he wanted to be God.
Right, he wanted to be up by pride. Right, he had the eye disease. All he thought about was himself. And on day one, God, that's how he felt. So God said, he waited on day two, but he still felt the same about his pride. And day three, all the way up to 365. Now, who decided time's up? God did. God decided time's up. Now, if God is speaking to you about an issue in your life, and you don't deal with it like Nebuchadnezzar did right away, but you wait, is there ever a deadline for what God tells you to do? Does God have deadlines? There's a deadline. And Nebuchadnezzar, he didn't know when that deadline was, but he got up the first day one, and then day two was just like day one, and day three was like day two, and after 30 days, nothing happened, and after 60 days, nothing happened, and oh, life's good, and he just kept on going. Now, when God spoke to him, was that pretty impressive to Nebuchadnezzar? You know, I mean, did it really make an impression on him? It did. But what did he do with that? Have sinners ever been stirred but not changed? Have they ever wept but not been converted? And that's where people are sometimes. And that's where Nebuchadnezzar was. He just went on about life and really didn't think about all this much. But God has a deadline. And look at verse 30. The king spake and said, this is not great Babylon that I have built. Luther said, I will ascend to heaven. See the parallels there? That I have built for the house and kingdom by my might, of my power, and for the honor of my majesty. Now, was the watcher still watching right then? Did that watcher hear everything he said? Hear every word he said. And Nebuchadnezzar said, while the word was still in whose mouth? The words barely even left his mouth. How quick when God says, that's enough, game's over, lights are going out, I've had enough here. How quick can God do that? While the word was still in his mouth, boom, it's done. O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. And they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee eat grass as an oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee, till thou know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men, and give it to whomsoever he will. In verse 33, the same what? Hour immediately was the thing fulfilled. He lost his mind. And his people drove him because he went insane. They didn't know what to do with him. They just set him out in the wilderness. He did eat grass as an oxen.
But can you see how that's limited free will? Because Nebuchadnezzar didn't want that. That wouldn't have been his will.
It was his punishment.
Yes, but that wasn't his will. That's why I look at it as limited free will, because if God wants to do something to you,
well, certainly he's sovereign. Right. His chastening hand, you can't stop. When he chastens you,
will or not, he's going to do it.
Yeah, right. I mean, we sinners have will, but right. God is sovereign
right.
will.
And our will might not be what he wants us to do, and he's going to do what he wants us to do.
Right. We can choose our choices, but we can't choose our consequences. Yeah. And Nebuchadnezzar could not choose his consequence. And so, yes, God dealt with him and chastened him and punished him for his pride. Is it any fun to eat Nebuchadnezzar food?
No.
Is that fun? That's not a salad you want to enjoy. That's not the kind of food you want to eat. And Nebuchadnezzar food is what you want to avoid. Well, how bad was it? He did eat grass as an oxen. His body was wet with the dew of heaven till his hairs were grown like an eagle's feather and nails like bird's claws. At the end of the days, at set period seven times, I, Nebuchadnezzar, what's those next few words there? He lifted up mine eyes unto where?
Heaven.
Ah. All of a sudden, it turned. He used to lift his eyes up over great Babylon that I've done. All of a sudden, he looked up to God. And everything that God said happened just as God said it. He lifted up my eyes unto heaven, my understanding. He got his mind back. That's grace. And I blessed the Most High. Whoa. Who did he bless before? He blessed himself. He was praising himself. And all of a sudden, he's blessing God and praising God. And I praised and honored him that liveth forever and ever. When people are in their right mind, guess where their focus is? On God and worshiping and giving honor to him. And his mind came back and he blessed him. And he realized, what was God's lesson to him? He'll give the kingdom to whoever he wants, whose dominion is an everlasting. And then his kingdom, not my kingdom, his kingdom is from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. He doeth according to his will in the armies of heaven and among all the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand. He's sovereign. Or who can say unto him, why doest thou? At the same time, my reason returned unto me. He got his mind back. That was the stump. Is God gracious to sinners? He is. He's gracious to them. Mine honor and my brightness returned unto me. My counselors, my Lord sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellency and majesty were added unto me. Personal testimony as he brings it down for a landing here in closing. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and exalt and honor the King of who? Of heaven. It's not how he started out, was it? Yeah, he thought he was it. He thought he was a big guy in town. All whose works are of truth and his ways, judgment, and those who walk in pride, he's able to what? Abase. Matthew 23:12, what does that say? Whoever shall exalt himself shall be what? Abased. And he that humbleth himself shall be what? Exalted. Did Nebuchadnezzar do that? Did he do that? That verse fits this chapter 4 of Daniel to a T. Because when he exalted himself, God said, okay, I'm going to humble you. When he humbled himself, guess what God said? Okay, I can exalt you now. So what's the application for us as believers? Okay, listen to God says. What's another application?
Walk in humility.
Walk in humility.
Acknowledging his power and sovereignty.
Power and sovereignty, right. Acknowledging God. What did Nebuchadnezzar do when he got his right mind back? He started what? Praising God. Praising God. So when you walk in humility, now, I heard somebody say, pride is like this. It's making you big and God little. But humility is making God big and you little. Do you see the difference? When I make myself big and God little, that's pride. But when I make myself little and God big, that's walking in humility.
Another one is repentance is agreeing with God against yourself.
Agreeing with God against yourself. Well, that would be true if your self is not agreeing with God, but if you're repenting and you acknowledge that you're a sinner and God says you're a sinner, then you're both agreeing together.
Well, he agreed with God. Nebuchadnezzar agreed with God.
Yes.
Against himself.
Yes, right. When he was in rebellion, yes, that's right. Yes, he agreed with God. Yes. So that's a great chapter and a lot we can learn. Well, let's pray here and then we'll look at some prayer requests. Lord, thank you for what we looked at here tonight. And it's a long chapter, God, but it's deep with theology. And Lord, I pray that each of us would be humble of heart and mind and realize you're sovereign, that we can trust you, God. And in your sovereignty, we have freedom. Lord, we're free to love and serve you, God, knowing that you have a watch care. You're the watcher, and you watch over us. And Father, you watch every word we say and the attitudes of our hearts. And as Nebuchadnezzar was speaking those words, God, the watcher saw him and dealt with him quickly. And I pray that we as believers would always be of humble heart and mind, esteeming others better than our own selves, that we would have that heart and mind as the Lord Jesus washed the disciples' feet, that, Lord, we'd have a servant's heart in humility. And, Father, that's how unity in a church and for a nation, when we are humble toward one another. And, Father, those that walk in pride, you're able to abase. And I thank you, Lord, that you're sovereign God. And, Father, I just pray that as believers that we would please you and exalt and honor your holy name. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we ask this. Amen. Amen. I'll take out your